see everybody out this morning. If you would get out your songbooks, we're going to sing before prayer and go into Bible class. We'll sing number 937, Stand in Awe. Do it a little bit different. We're going to stand for this song and then remain standing for the prayer. So go ahead and stand, please. If it's convenient for you to do so. So we'll stand and sing the song, number 937, and then remain standing for the prayer, and then we'll be dismissed to class.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen on earth. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above, and I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you, holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
Stand in awe of you this morning, Father. We thank you so much for the majesty you've given us around us, the beautiful landscape around us, the rain that we got yesterday, Father. We just come here to the of all things. And we come here this morning today, wanting to thank you so much for all that you do for us. We truly are counting our blessings. Father, again, gather here this morning, we thank you so much for your son Jesus, and thank you for the opportunity you have, the home of heaven, you prepared for us, Father. Pray to be with us this morning as we look into your word, Father. We might find the truth. We know that in advance, we might take application in our life, Father. We might be better Christians because we get here today. We thank you so much for each family that's here today, for the spiritual thoughts that we all have. We want to work through this morning and please you. We ask to be with us this morning as we study your word and ask all these things for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Tony, if you would, I'm going to get some assignments here. Romans 1, verse 8. Trey, if you take Ephesians 1, 16. Philippians 1, 9, 10. Kevin, if you will go ahead and turn to Romans 1, 12. Ephesians 6, 18. Samantha? And Philippians 4, 6. Mallory, Dan. 1 Thessalonians, that's going to be 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. If you have your outline, there's no chapter that I'm referring to. And we did make reference to that last week. John 16, Mark, I got three verses there for you to read in that chapter when we eventually get there. Philippians 4, Aaron. Philippians 4. It'll be a while before we get there, but hopefully we'll get there, and we'll finish out this study on prayer. You check in the website. Mark's going to upload the question sheets. If you don't get around to it this week, next week we'll be covering the introduction to the book of Romans. But there are question sheets for each chapter, so go to the website and you'll be able to download them. We've been having some good discussion on the subject of prayer. Obviously, we could spend a lot of time on this. And now we're getting into the area we started last week, talking about prayer within the early church. We were going through the book of Acts last week. And now we're going to talk about people who, you know, make reference to different... make reference to different things in their prayer life. And so we're going to learn from that today. If it sparks thoughts, by all means, jump in. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8 is where we're starting today. And Tony, as Paul was writing to the Roman brethren, we will be discussing this soon. What did he say?
First, I thank my God for Jesus Christ, for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world.
All right. And of course, from this, when we're talking about a variety of different things, we usually don't think of this too much when I ask for a long list of what are some things that we can pray for, and we have done that. What's Paul doing here? What do we learn from this as Paul addresses the brethren at Rome, whether it's a concern or a admiration, a praise? What is it within his prayer here that he was making note of?
Their example of faith. Thanking God for their example of faith.
Okay, now that's interesting, you know, that, you know, here's Paul going to God and making reference to others. You know, certainly when we go to prayer, who is our focus on? Usually.
Us.
Is that wrong? Is it wrong?
No.
I mean, when we talk about that Pharisee and the publican, you know, we often talk about, you know, everything was I. But in our personal prayer life, should there be some I's in there? Absolutely. But what was lacking with him, of course? The humility, okay? And so obviously you and I are going to be praying for ourselves. But I like what Paul's talking about here, and which was part of his prayer life, and that needs to be part of ours too. Thinking about our brethren, but more specifically, as Aaron brought up, your example. Why was that important to Paul, to mention that in a prayer? Why would you pray about that, guys? What's the significance of it? Well, their faith and the fact that their lives are going to be touching the lives of others, Aaron?
I think it's twofold here. I think one is that should be edifying to these people, realizing that they're in the prayer, and that Paul's even thinking about them. To me, I'd be edified and really just uplifted if you write me a letter and say, hey, Aaron, I've been praying for your faith and remain faithful. And then I think the second thing is I'm reminded of the scripture that we're probably going to be reading here pretty soon about righteous man availeth much. And so here, you know, a prayer from Paul on our behalf, that's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, when we talk about this, you know, the impact that it has, Paul's always thinking, you know, not so much of, you know, you find an apple and there's some seeds in there. He's not so much thinking about a tree. He's thinking about an orchard. He sees the big picture. And when you look at brethren, you're saying that you touch the lives of people he'll never know. He'll never meet. And so be an example. May your faith be spoken of. And your faith, your life is going to touch the lives of other Christians, but it's also going to be influencing those that are not Christians. Mark.
And here's a church that's in the capital of the empire of all the doctrinal worship, idol worship, emperor worship. He had a faithful congregation, and he's proclaiming that throughout the world. So, hey, if they can do it under those circumstances,
absolutely,
our faith can be as well.
And I've already got Romans on my mind since we've been preparing for that class, and that's really what he does throughout this book, not only dealing with justification by faith throughout this book, but he's going to be talking about their positive influence because of... It's like a Mecca, you know, it's a breeding ground. Like, you can go out from there, you know, how it touches the lives of so many people that come in and then they go out. Mark, or Tony?
And I look at it also as how important it is when we have visitors and stuff, that when they go, that they're talking about how strong we are here. You know, that when we grow up throughout the world, you know, your faith is spoken of. Same thing can be, you know, said for us.
Exactly.
The importance of visitors and things like that.
Yeah, when we think going out in the world, I think you and I are thinking in terms of, you know, the River Ridge Church, are they talking about us in Italy? No, I mean, the point is, it can be like the next town over, or, you know, in the community. We have a good example. Folks, point is, we're about to move on to our next passage that Trey has. But praying about the example of our brethren is something that we need not minimize. And we need to have a part of our prayer life. I would value that. And the fact that, and Aaron brought it up, just the fact that they're reading this ought to build them up and strengthen them that, wow, you pray about that? And would you be built up to know about what people pray about you? Would that build you up? You know, well, unless you're hearing them say, you know, help him to not be such a bad mom. But the point is, we want that encouragement. Okay, the next one we have, as Paul mentioned again, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16.
Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers.
All right, and then just repetition to brethren, keeping mindful of them in our prayers. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9.
And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment.
Okay. Was there a negative in there? I pray that your love will what? You know, if somebody's on the defensive there, how might they interpret that? If you think defensively.
We didn't have the love to begin with, or not as much.
Or not as much. Well, what's wrong with my love? No, there's nothing. I'm just praying that it'll abound. What? Has there been a problem? You know, you can get defensive like that. And so the whole point is there room for growth in our lives? And so I'm saying, folks, pray for me. I have not reached it. You have not reached it. And there's so many areas in our life that we need to grow in. Let's use prayer as the point. I think it's one of the greatest tools that we have that's not being utilized enough. As I said before, who prays too much here? You know, it's just something that's easy to take for granted. And as we discussed last Sunday, and we had some good discussion about why do people neglect prayer. And you guys had some really fabulous points about that. But it's easy. And I think that what we're noticing here, a point that we can learn as far as helping our prayer life, and with all these passages, there's a theme. Paul made it a habit to mention the breath. So it's easy to remember if you always do it. Not vain repetition. But think about the things that you guys pray a lot about. Introduce something new. Is it going to be hard to remember the next time? See, my point is, make the effort, put forth the effort to do things that you haven't done before and work it into your prayer life. Because it's easy just to get into our routine and just pray for those select things that we always do. Not that those things are wrong. What we're talking about is improving our prayer life, which we all want to do, of course. Because when we improve our prayer life, what happens?
Well, I think this scripture answers it in verse 10. It helps you discern. It helps you know right from wrong and being able to make the right decision.
There's one. A good prayer life does what? Helps. A good prayer life. What will it do for you?
Stronger to God.
Always closer to God, obviously. Draw near to Him. Increases your faith. What else does it keep us humble? Creates you, keeps you humble the more you pray. What else will it do? Keep you on the right path. What else will it do for you? I know this does for me. Makes you happy in general, content, knowing that you've taken it to Him. Why worry? I've cast my all cares upon Him. Anything else? Big one. I think what it does for me is it increases my bond with brethren. It increases my bond with, or maybe not so much a bond, but my desire to reach the lost. You keep praying about the lost, and you're working towards that end. That helps you in those areas. And so if I'm praying fervently for you, am I building a wall between us? Am I getting distant from you the more I pray for you? No, and that's the whole thing. That's what happens even with our own families and the things that you are praying for. It strengthens those things. Anything else before we go to our next set of passages as far as what a good prayer life will do for you? Anything else pop into your head? Romans 1:12. Now, this is where Paul's exhortation to Christians to cultivate and the practice of prayer. So Romans chapter 1 and verse 12, we're back to Kevin.
Romans That is that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith.
Each other. Okay, I don't know about you, but I would think that, and of course we haven't read the whole book of Romans, but what would be an interesting suggestion if the brethren there were reading this and they finished reading the letter, what might be an interesting suggestion that one of the members might say? Let's pray for Paul. Let's stop and pray for him. I mean, obviously throughout this letter he has built us up and strengthened us and talked about, and there's more than one occasion here, guys, where we talked about praying for them. And how about us keeping Paul in our prayers? Absolutely. And encouraging the brothers to do that, to help each other. You know, we talk about how can we help each other. Well, how many of you guys were with me this week? Not many. Not many, right? How many, how many here did I spend time with? Not many. Okay. Well, how did I help you this week? Could I have helped you anyway this week? Well, hopefully, kept you in my prayers. Anybody have any struggles this week? Well, good, because that's what we prayed about. We prayed about be with our brethren that have faced some hardships, some struggles, some decisions that they're making. Be with them. Thanking one another, and that's what he's talking about, but cultivating that prayer life. Ephesians, I love this, because you know the sixth chapter of Ephesians is dealing with the armor of God. And we often read those verses 10 through 17, which are great, by the way. But let's read 17 and 18 together. Samantha?
Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Remember, guys, all those whole armor of God things that we are to apply and put on. And what for what purpose, by the way? You put on the whole armor of God? Earlier in the chapter? Yeah. To resist the wiles of the devil. Didn't he mention that? What verse? 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we go through all that, and then he gets down there to verse 18 and says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You need to do this. I mean, it's one thing to apply those things, but needing God, using God, helping yourself. No, that's what it's all about. Well, why do I need to pray? Prayer helps you. Don't lose sight of that. I'm praying for this person. I'm praying for that person. Aside from all the answers to prayer, let's not lose the sight of just prayer in itself. Just you talking to God. I mean, you had it when you first dated. Okay, those who were dating and are married. When you date, you talk, right? I mean, was there anything special you talked about? Idle chit chat. Was anything being accomplished with that conversation, with those conversations? That's my point. It wasn't a waste. You're learning to be more comfortable around one another. You're opening up with one another. Again, so our conversation with God, it isn't always be with them, help me, do that, do this. And there's the thankfulness and just talking about God's qualities. Did you do that in your idle chat? Wow, you got pretty much. Now, you complimented, didn't you not? Didn't you?
Yeah.
You complimented. Yes, thank you. That's what you do, and that's what's part of our prayers. I think that we just need to mine those things that we just don't often think about when it comes to improving our prayer. Guys, there's way too much lecturing going on. Jump in. Participate. You got thoughts along these lines. I'm doing my best. I know it's early in the morning, but okay.
Hey, Chuck, have we already brought this out? And if we have, I apologize, but I was just looking at verse 19. Verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 6, that it's okay to ask for others to pray for you. And I think that's a scriptural example there.
Well, you're making reference to it, and we talked about it last Sunday. Were you here last Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay. So. No, not this one. But I was going to make a connection with the verse we talked about that you mentioned earlier from James chapter 5. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We confess our faults to one another. And we remember we diagnosed who the righteous people were. And the righteous people in that context were her. Who? It were those people who had confessed faults to one another. Huh? They're called righteous and they had faults? Yeah, they confess them to one another. They made it right with God. And therefore, you can pray for one another because the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so, Aaron, you're making that point here.
Where he says, pray also for me, so we can ask others to pray for us.
Yeah. Not only expect it, not only, you know, people do it without being asked, but ask. Can I ask you guys something? I don't want to get personal, so don't raise your hand. But just think about it. How often have you personally asked for prayers from God? Would you think about that? Without making assumptions, and I'll just use myself in this, what might hinder us from doing it?
Embarrassing.
Embarrassing.
I would think it shows a sign of weakness.
A sign of weakness. Huge. You know, I pray for me in this. Wow, I thought better of you than that. I'd have never thought that. Well, don't think that. I'm just asking you. I mean, we all have struggles, and I think that the more that we would acknowledge that, maybe there'd be more of a willingness to pray for one another. I think there's also this idea of I don't want to do this because I'm worried that you might think this is rather frivolous. You pray for that? I mean, how childish is that? EJ? Well, yeah, and that's a big thing. I mean, that's huge. There are times where I might not come to you if, I'm not saying this is true, but I'm saying I might not come to you if I just think that you're going to make fun of me. If you're going to go off and gossip about it and not see the serious side of this, not want to really help me. And so my lack of trust in you could cause me to do that, which is terrible of me to do if I did that. It's just that I just know that you wouldn't think beyond that, just done. But we just need,
well, like so often we ask people to pray for us about something that's already happened, you know, or some issue that's going on versus some important decision in the future, you know, something I'm going to have to make, you know, job change or some family issue or whatever, something that's, you know, coming, you know, we wait until after it happens, then, oh, this happened, can you pray for me that it'll get better, or well, can you fix this or whatever. But looking forward and anticipating that maybe, you know, the prayers, you know, be effective to the point where something doesn't happen in the future, but we don't have to worry about it.
I like that, TJ.
Other than non-Christians that always seem to ask for prayer, the brethren, what I've noticed is that when someone asks for prayer, it's normally for something that I would consider important. Somebody's having surgery, somebody's, you know, there's an issue like that. And then I look at myself and I say, I don't have anything that important. You know, so
that's true. I think that's another thing that would cause me not to ask you because I might convince myself it's not worth asking you. Yeah, it's small. It's insignificant. I mean, if I had a real problem, then I would come to you. And that's, you know, I kind of understand that a little bit. But again, it's just, I just think that there's a lot of good that can come out. What positives are there, guys, if I ask you to pray for me about something? What are some, other than the fact that you would pray for me, what's a good thing about that?
Well, it would bring it, whatever issue I'm having, to your forefront so that you can check up on me and see how I'm doing with this.
I like that. What are you saying, Mark?
Based on that, it will be a closeness, more closer than what Christ said, if we can pull together closer.
Don't you feel special when somebody asks you to do a special task? You know, you entrusted me with that information? Sure. You know, and we don't need to belittle this by finding out later on that, wow, he asked everybody. Well, but because prayer of a righteous man availeth much, so why not ask a lot of righteous people? EJ?
I'm sure that came from their work, not holding on to their faith and tenders.
Well, and that's the thing that we just got to ignore that. You know, and there'll be people who will not do what's right. And the good news is, EJ, the good news is, the reason why we've read these verses is that there are brethren who are genuine. They don't make assumptions. They don't look down. They just want to help. We just want to help each other get to heaven. And to help each other get to heaven, guys, a part of that, it's not the only thing, as you know, prayer. and I think that there are times when we don't take advantage of that. And sometimes when we're having a hardship, sometimes we just feel so sorry for ourselves, we really don't want the prayers of other people. And I guess the lack of humility is in that. What were you going to say, Samantha?
I think it's important, too, that not only to ask others for prayer, but to offer to pray for them. If they're telling you about a problem, and they don't necessarily say, we pray for me, you should tell them, well, I'll pray for you.
Oh, nice.
And they think, I mean, it's kind of humble for them to think, oh, that's awesome.
Okay. That's nice. That's nice. I like that, because there are times where we will share hardships or struggles or things in our lives, and we're just sitting there going, oh, yeah. That's nice. But to offer to pray for them is super. Tim, you had a point.
Yeah, I think the asking prayer for the smaller things, what we call the not thinking, but you know, thinking about those, it shows our reliance on God in everything versus I'll handle the little thing. Major things, when I can't handle them, I go to you, God, or I go to somebody else. You know, we draw this line and say, you know, petty things I handle, you know, bigger things I need help, and that's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, to put things in perspective, I mean, we don't pray to help me get out of the chair. Although, somebody might be really in bad shape and is really struggling with pain and that sort of thing. But in our service to God, you know, it affects, and like you're talking about, Tim, it affects every facet of our life. Not just health that we're talking about. I just saw Chelsea. Chelsea.
I'm sorry. I raised my hand, but I wasn't raising my hand.
Okay, thank you. Very well put. Kim.
I think it's important, though, if someone does ask for our prayers, that we remember it long term. Because I think sometimes we, you know, it's like it's right there, it's right in your face, and we're like, oh, pray, you know, and you're encouraging that person, and then like maybe a week or two later, you know, oh, you know, we just kind of put it, and I am so guilty. You know, I want to be that thoughtful person, because like my mom, she's major thoughtful, you know, and then, you know, I'm like, oh, I forgot to be dead, I forgot to say something to them, you know, I know.
I think that's important. Have you ever been to a congregation? We're kind of small. If you've been to a congregation, and I've been in meetings, 5 minutes of listing of people that are sick. And I'm thinking, I don't remember that. Well, of course, I remember the sick. Of course. But like you're talking about, you know, it would take a genuine effort to remember when we give announcements and to continue to do that. And I think sometimes you got to think beyond that. When somebody's coming to you and talk about a problem that they're having, or maybe even a health problem. When we talk about Pam, oftentimes we need to be thinking about the family. And I've learned that in visiting people that have been suffering for a long period of time. After I come out of the bedroom visiting with the individual and come out, the caregiver, wow, it's taken years off of their life. And so it's hard on them too. So I think we just need to see the big picture. And if we ever say to ourselves, well, what's there to pray for? If we think about it, there is a lot. Kim?
Well, too, you know, if we do are praying for them, you know, we can let them know, hey, I'm still praying for you. So I got you in my prayers.
And that's nice. And it's better than just words. It's easy to write on an email, hey, you're in my prayers. Seriously, were you in my prayers? Or I'm just telling you, I'm praying for you. Yeah, there's a difference. And Philippians 4:6 was Mallory.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
I love that. These are not just words, they're to God. Okay, we have something, we're actually thinking about Him. When Kim led us in prayer this morning, we were thinking about Him. When we sing, we're singing up to God. We want God to be pleased with our worship that's offered for Him. And so, let it be made known to God. And on a continual basis, that's the point that He's trying to drive home here, this practice of prayer. And of course, that's what we have over here. And I do believe that Chanel raised this last week, but Dan's going to read it for us now in Thessalonians. Dan, if you'll go ahead, I hope I gave you the right chapter 5. I did. Yes, I'm sorry. 16 through 18.
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Now, you notice something interesting in that verse. And that is, in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. All the things that we've been talking about this morning, think about it. Praying for each other, and not forgetting one another, and actually going to each other. You realize that's not stuff that we're coming up with saying, hey, we're going over and beyond our call of duty. God didn't even expect this. He's going to be really pleased that we're doing stuff that he doesn't really expect. Whoa. He actually does. This is the will of God. It's God's will that we pray for each other. It's God's will that we pray without ceasing. And, of course, make the point quickly. How do you pray without ceasing? When you have a job and it's life and death and you got to focus on your... How are you praying without ceasing? What's it mean? Pardon me?
Pray a lot.
Dan?
Not even a regular part of the day.
Okay, like that. Anything else?
Don't
quit. Excuse me?
Don't give up and quit when you don't see it coming in your direction, because it's God's will, we have to remember. So sometimes I think when things aren't coming out with the results we're expecting, we stop praying because we think there's no good in it.
It's true. Dina?
For me, praying without ceasing is where I constantly have, like, pain, for example, on my mind, and I'm always hoping that something's going to change. And just momentarily stopping and thinking.
I like that.
I hope.
I like that. God not being far from you and thinking about her. Aaron, Warren, and Mal?
I was going to say that the phraseology I was thinking was living a God-centered life. Everything that I'm doing, it's centered upon God.
Which is your whole life, every aspect. Warren, what are you going to
say? I guess my comment is, like, we're going to face problems, adversities in our lives, and without God, what would be that? You've got to have faith, you've got to have whatever I've done. If we exist, it's like we're being obedient also. We know we're faced with something, and we know this is not going to happen if I do this.
Yeah.
And to me, that's part of my faith. That's part of it.
That's it. I mean, that's faith put into practice, man.
For me, I guess prayer without ceasing is, yeah, we're busy with our lives, but we're always looking for that opportunity to find the time to pray. You know, people look for opportunities to, I don't know, make a phone call or to watch TV or do whatever, but if prayer without ceasing, he is always looking for that time. I have 5 minutes I can pray, you know, versus I have 5 minutes I can, you know, do something else, looking for that opportunity to pray.
I like that. Keith, what do you say?
Well, I'm just going to say, connection with the previous verse and the one after, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. I don't think the writer's trying to say that you're praying 24/7. It's a mindset. Rejoice in the Lord. Have a prayerful mind. You know, have those things always, you know, in your mind, and live the way God wants you to. It's a mindset.
You guys are all talking about that. It's like, it should be like the first thing to pop into your head when you are facing something, whatever it might be. Go to God in prayer. I mean, it should be second nature, because we're a prayerful people. We're going to say,
And I was going to bring up rejoice always also. Just like, you know, prayer, you know, rejoice in your prayers, rejoice in adversity,
right,
and everything, you know, because you know where you're going.
We didn't actually bring that up, did we? I mean, prayer shouldn't be a burden. It's like, oh, man, we'll do this again. It's not like going to the dentist. When we look forward to it, obviously you're going to make the time, the guys that you're talking about. But it's something you have to work at, guys. I mean, that's one thing I want to teach us to pray, as Jesus taught them. And so it's not only what to say, but we're also dealing with frequency here, guys. And that's what he's talking about here, is that we are a... You know, when you think of somebody, if I say, you know, we are a people of prayer, what comes to mind if we're a people of prayer? We pray a lot. That's what should come to mind. We pray a lot. Chelsea, you got it, right? You're not halfway?
Okay. Yeah, I noticed there's been a pattern throughout the years that we've read about prayer. There's always a mention of giving thanks. And I know we talked about in our prayers, we're supposed to be thankful for things we have. But I think it's important to remember when God does bring on us, or when things do go right, or just something great happens, or something trying happens, it's important to constantly be giving thanks for God listening to us.
Isn't that what Paul did? When Paul prayed for a thorn in the flesh to be gone, and it wasn't taken away. You notice that all of a sudden now he's like, well, then, you know, I'm going to get strong because of this. You know, whatever it is, whether it's been answered the way I hoped it would, or it's answered in a way that it's not the way I thought it was going to be. But still, giving God thanks. He knows what's best for us. That's all part of developing, guys, this is crucial. Developing a strong prayer life is putting our trust in God. Because a weak prayer life is like, I never get what I want. Rather than trusting in God, He knows what you can handle. Or you have a hardship. Guess what? That just tells me that God's not going to put anything before you that you can't handle. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And so you need to turn around and say, wow, thank you, God, for allowing me to deal with this. You can deal with it. You don't throw in the towel. So again, that thankfulness. I really love that thought. Prayer in the Christian life. Okay, we have these three verses by Mark. Mark, you have John 16, but you got 23, 24. Well, then they say jump down to 26. Just read 23 through 26 of John 16.
And that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, He will give it to you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. An hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but will tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will request of the Father on your behalf. 27
Yeah, go ahead.
For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I have come forth from the Father.
Love it. And there's a lot more we could talk about in there. And so that's this part of the Christian life. It's to the Father through Jesus in his name, through his Son. And let's just throw that out. Is there a particular phrase that we always have to say? You know, we get into those habits. Is there anything wrong with me ending a prayer by saying, and be with us throughout our service today. We offer this prayer through your Son and our Savior, Jesus. You didn't say in Jesus' name? Amen. Well, it was through Jesus. You just have to identify it. It's like the Father. Is there another way you can address God? There's one. What's that? Lord? Yeah. You know? And so I just want us to see that there is an order here, right? There's an order. Through the Father, through the Son, in His name, and then you fill it with whatever you want. And you can talk about the Father, you can talk about the Son, and that's what our prayer life is all about. And that's what Jesus is assuring them, because if you do it this way, there's going to be approval. There's a right way again, a right way and a wrong way. And just to say, I don't think it matters to God. Well, if it doesn't matter to God, then why so much teaching on the subject? And it does matter. We had all things that pertain to the kingdom in one's personal life. We went through Matthew 6. We're not going to go through all those verses again. We spent 2 weeks on that. But we have Philippians chapter 4. Did I assign that one? Did we get that far? We sure did. Aaron, please. Philippians 4, 4 through 7.
Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
That verse 7 is what we've been talking about this morning. When we talked about the benefits, what's going to happen. So I go to prayer. You know, I've spent some time recently talking with somebody who just wondered about that. He just says, you know, Chuck, you know, people have been praying for years. And it's like they give thanks for that. And they say, God healed that person. Well, what about the person that wasn't healed? And they're just, you know, you got all these questions, some of them legit, but some of them just come from a lack of faith. And that's really what we have here that we're developing with this individual. But that's what he mentions here. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If any of you were sick, and we prayed fervently for you, and you died, what happens to our faith? We're a close-knit group. We're family here. And we pray fervently, and the person dies. What happens to our faith? What should happen to her?
Should be sure that they've gone to heaven and rejoice in that.
First of all, they're the fortunate ones, Keith.
Well, I think first off, your faith is tested.
True.
Your faith is tested, and whether you pass that test or not is what Kim said. You know, you should. The way you pass that faith test is you put your trust in God and know that there's something better for us.
Yeah.
But you can go the opposite way.
Oh, yes. When I say what should happen, yeah, we know what should happen. But there are times when people, they face that adversity, when it doesn't turn out the way they want, they blame God. Or they'll say, there is no God. And they'll go the opposite way. That's why I think that verse 7 that Aaron just read is crucial. Because when he's talking about the need for us to go to God and be anxious for nothing, make it known to God, and then he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is what will happen. We need that. Our prayer life helps us. And I think that's crucial, guys. Our prayer life helps us develop that relationship. So when as Keith talked about, when we face those times, those particular times, our faith's going to carry us through. We're going to be fine. Why? Because I know the way prayer has worked in my life. And I've just depended upon God, and as we have discussed also, that we never forget, we're letting His will be done always. It's just, let His will be done. Now, I don't want to get into a big, long discussion about the providence of God, and do accidents happen? Can coincidence happen? Sure. And Jesus had to deal with it. The Tower of Siloam, when it fell, Jesus said, "Which you think the 18 people that were killed there when the tower fell on them were worse sinners than others?" You know, sometimes accidents happen, and we need to understand that. And we always, the problem is, if sometimes we always want to know why? Hmm?
I think we've all been around people who lost loved ones, you know, very close to the family, and they have this calm about them that we don't understand. And maybe we're part of the family, you know, not as close, or, you know, friends, and, you know, tearing us up inside. But they have this calm peace, like it passes all understanding.
Yes.
We don't understand it. A lot of times the person themselves doesn't understand it, but they know that I'm okay. And it's because of their faith that they have, while other people around them are just breaking down.
Yeah. That's interesting, because I've heard that comment recently here concerning Pam and in other places. When you think of all people, Christians shouldn't be shocked. You would think that we shouldn't be shocked. Wow, they're just taking this in Chicago. They just seem so calm about it. You know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, okay. You know, instant death, instant glory. You know, whatever. You know, you go, really? Yeah. And you'll find out that you're strengthened by them when you went there to encourage them. You ever been there? Yeah. So that's what we're talking about. That's what you're mentioning. That's what a close relationship does. And so it seems to me that if Pam has been having such a positive outlook and dealing with her cancer, I'm thinking, wow, so she just came to grips with her faith as soon as she got the news? No. It's been cultivated throughout the years so that when that does happen, you're there. You're there. And that's what we're trying to do, folks. Our prayer life is going to help us to be there. If it's not us, it might be somebody else. Because as Keith mentioned, if something tragic were to happen to one of you, do you think it'll affect anybody here? You'd be sadly mistaken if we don't feel just as bad. You say, well, you don't feel just as bad. You're not there. Well, maybe so. But that will test us on an individual basis. It will test our faith. And so prayer, guys, needs to be there. All right. Always, Luke 18, we've already discussed that. We only have three verses. Let me just hand up these last three verses. And we already read that one. And we already read that one. And so, did we read Romans 12:12? That would be Chanel. And there might have been a typo. Nope. 12:12, Chanel.
Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer.
That whole context there, I love it, because he starts back in verse 9. Outward to love, 10, kindly affectionate to one another, brotherly love, honor, giving preference to one another, lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continued steadfastly in prayer, distributed to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. This goes on and on and on. This is the way it went. But see, I don't want to minimize that. You really want to maximize all the points. Not one of these points is less important. But the fact of the matter is that he turns around and says, continuing steadfastly in prayer. It's telling you, praying often, praying much. Paul prayed 3 times. Did that seem like a lot to you? No, seriously, I mean, you have a problem. You have a thorn in the flesh. I don't know what his thorn in the flesh was. But does three times really jump out to you as a lot? It's kind of a trick question. I say yes and I say no because how long did he pray each time? So you're pouring your heart out to God for a long period of time. Just the struggles that you have and because of this. And I don't know, let me go on a tangent here. Some thinks it was his eyesight, okay? We can do a lot of passage that talks about that. And then he signed one of his letters with rather large handwriting because maybe he couldn't see. Who knows? But let me just go on this direction for a moment. If I'm going to pray and I'm losing my sight, what am I going to pray to God about? I don't want to lose my sight. What else might I say to him? What might I say to him? Well, I start talking about all the things that I can do with my eyes. Well, I don't want to be dependent upon somebody else. I can never drive again. And I want to travel and I want to do this. And I want to see this and to study, to read, and you know, and to learn Braille. And, it's not just that. It just relates to so many different things I can be praying about. And when I think of Paul, if it were, and I'm not saying it was, how would that hinder him and what he wanted to do? Would it hinder him? There's no doubt. There's no doubt. It would just handicap him of all the things that he wants to do. And so praying often is so important. Praying always, as he mentions here, in all seasons. That's where we were over in Ephesians chapter 6 a moment ago. The First Thessalonians, talking about, again, the idea of praying without ceasing, praying always.
Hey, Chuck, I was thinking when you said that. If he prays as long as he preaches, it's pretty good.
How long would Jesus pray?
All night.
I don't want to put anybody on the spot here. And I can think of some crises in my life. But if we were to ask, what is the longest prayer you've ever offered? How long were you in a conversation with God? You know, and there are times when you're going to have long conversations with God because of maybe your heaviness of heart, but it doesn't have to be heavy just to have a long conversation. When you guys dated, I'm going back to that again. Did you, if it was long distance, did you want to hurry up and hang up the phone?
You hang up first.
No, you hang up first. You just want to keep talking. You just want to keep talking. And that's what happens with our God, that we look forward to that time when we can just sit at the quietness of the day or whenever it might be, like during the day. I just need a quiet moment. I need to go talk to God. Now, I know it would be a little different for you if he was answering on the other phone. Are you listening? But the point is, it's real to you that you take that time and you talk to God. It's going to strengthen you. I'll give anybody the last 30 seconds. Any other thoughts on prayer? Next week, we're picking up Romans. Tony, good man.
To me, it's always good to pray when you lay down and go to bed and knowing
would dissuade praying, but not.
Okay, that's true. And I also think it's a great way to start off your day. A great way. And of course, throughout the day too. But thank you guys for your comments. I thoroughly appreciate that. Don't forget the website for the class material.
Thank you.